Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We are, and keep your Bibles open, we're going to what amounts more to a Bible study tonight, perhaps than a sermon. But it's so very important, because we have a few references to look at tonight. I'll try to limit my remarks about each passage of Scripture so that we can get right to the point. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 1 gives us the context. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now here's the charge. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Here's the next word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now notice what the charge is. When he says to them, preach the word, the first thing he says after when to do it, instant in season and out of season, is this: reprove. And tonight what we want to do is we want to talk about this word that we see in the Bible. The word is reproof. Reprove is the verb, that's what you do. And reproof is the noun, that's what it is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive right into the study. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be able, by the work of your Spirit in us today, to be able to preach the Word of God beneficially to all these that are gathered here. And tonight also, Father, we lift up Reg Williams at Truth Baptist Church in Portage, Wisconsin, and ask you, please, to bless and strengthen that man for the work you've called him to do. Give him good families, folks that will put good legs to his wisdom so that that church can continue to grow spiritually and even numerically as they sow the seed of the Word of God up there. Tonight, Father, we pray you will accomplish great things with your words in our lives, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to reprove, which is the word you saw here, and that's the commission or charge to Timothy, to reprove is to speak in disapproval of something. All right, so a reproof would be what you're doing is wrong. That's to speak in disapproval of it. It is also to rebuke, which is the other word that's used here. Reprove, rebuke. Rebuke is stronger. It is to scold somebody in a sharp way. Picture in your mind a child who has broken his mother's favorite vase after being told several times not to do it. Got the picture? Scold in a sharp way. Or to reprimand. All right, like the teacher did in school or the principal did in school before. To reprove is also to convict. And you'll oftentimes, we're going to see a verse tonight, hear people talk about the Holy Spirit bringing conviction on a sinner. That's connected with this word reproof. So to reprove is to speak in disapproval of something, to rebuke it, that is to scold it or reprimand it, or to convict. Reproof, whether you like it or not, is essential in life. You're not going to get through life without it. It's not that it happens. It is essential. We must have reproof in our life. Now, tonight we're going to go through and we're going to look at a number of verses that contain the word reprove or reprover or reproof so we can understand and learn what it is. First of all, we want to look at the purpose of reproof. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll spend the bulk of our time in the book of Proverbs because it contains the word as much as any other place in the Bible. And in Proverbs chapter 1, the first purpose of reproof is not just to point out that you are wrong, but it is to get you to turn. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof," the Lord says. Wisdom is personified here in verse 20. Wisdom is crying, she's uttering her voice and so forth. And she is saying to, verse 22, simple ones, to scorners and to fools, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make you," or "I will make known my words unto you." So the idea of reproof is to not only just point out, hey, you know what, you're messing up here, or to reprimand somebody, it is to get them to turn, like repentance. It's to make that thing they're doing stop and get them to start going in another direction. Okay? The idea that a parent, for instance, would reprove a child over and over and over and over and over again for the same thing is counterproductive. The child's not listening and nothing's happening. The idea is you say it and the child turns away from it. Same way when a preacher is preaching, the reproof is to get you to turn. It's also, according to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, not only to turn you, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, but it is also to instruct you. For the commandment, Proverbs 6, 23, for the commandment is a lamp. Shows you something. The law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So, in the case of reproof, here's a person going in the wrong direction. They are scolded, reprimanded, reproved. They look up and go, oh yeah, this is the wrong direction. And instead of just making them turn and stop, now reproof is also about instruction. That is, go this way and go on this path and go in this direction and go according to this law and this light. So the purpose of reproof is to stop it and turn it, to instruct you, and then Proverbs chapter 15, the work of reproof or the purpose of reproof is to then give you understanding. All right, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Why? The instruction is good for him. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. I'm going the wrong direction. Bang, I get a reproof. A lost person comes to church. They hear the gospel and he turns to Jesus Christ. He comes back, he hears another reproof that what he's doing is his life is wrong. So he gets rid of that and he's instructed in the way of righteousness. And then as he continues to go, he's given understanding. Meaning, he doesn't need somebody there to tell him every single time what he needs to do. He starts learning, you know what? I understand. I continue to go this way and this is how I live and I read the Bible and it continues to give me instruction. I don't need you there, preacher, every minute of every day for the 7 days of every week to tell me how to do this. I'm beginning to learn and understand. That's what reproof is for. It's very beneficial. It's absolutely essential to our life. And the beauty is that it's working in your life, it's working in my life, but there are also other people that you know in whose life it may not be working so well. Teenage children, young kids, parents, reproof. You say, I am just sick and tired of telling this kid what to do. You got to stay on it until they understand and learn to live. All right, now, that's the purpose of reproof. Very simple. Turn you, instruct you, and give you some understanding so you can live. And maybe pass it on to somebody else. The best reprover in the whole world, the whole universe, is the Spirit of God. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. The best reprover in the entire universe is the Spirit of God. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus Christ tells His disciples, He says, I'm going to tell you the truth, guys, in verse 7. It is expedient for you that I go away. They ain't getting that. They've had Him for 3.5 years, and now He says, the best thing for you is for me to leave. They're like, are you kidding me? But He says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will, look, this is what He says, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then He describes of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit's going to be kicking your behind the whole way. To some extent. The Holy Spirit is a leader and He's gentle. So much so. But I'm telling you what, when you're getting out of line, He's going to be there to tell you you're getting out of line. And you want to listen to Him. You want a good communication between you and the Spirit of God so it is not hard for Him to let you know you need to straighten up. It's when you shut off, when you quench, and when you grieve the work of the Spirit of God, or when you clutter your life with all kinds of distractions so the Spirit of God can't get through, that He's struggling with you. Because He's trying to lead and you're not listening. Okay? Can you imagine in a football team when the quarterback gets on a knee like that, everybody's in the huddle, and he goes ahead and he gives a deal, and there's one lineman that never listens to what he says. He don't know when the ball's going to be hiked. He has no idea which direction to block because he doesn't know what the play is. That guy's going to be messing up things all the time. And the Spirit of God works in a body, and He wants everybody listening. He's the best reprover. So here's the deal. Keep a very open communication between you and the Spirit of God. The best reprover is the Spirit of God. The best reproof comes from the Word of God. Go back to 2 Timothy where we started. The best reproof comes from the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We didn't start there. We were in chapter 4, but we're going to be very close to where we started. I told you, we're not going to make a lot of comments about these verses. We're moving because there's, you know, a few to cover. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what inspiration of God is? That's the Spirit of God. Inspiration. That's the Spirit of God. So when you read this Bible, the Holy Spirit's right there with you, and He says, you see that right there? It's given to you by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine. So that's where we learn. Look at the next word. For reproof. So if reproof is essential to life, and the Spirit of God is the best reprover, and the Word of God is the best reproof, you and I have got to stay in this book. Because reproof is essential to life. So you get in this Bible, and the Spirit of God is right there. He knows exactly what you need. Listen, Barry, when you're reading the Bible, and you're reading through Hosea, and I'm reading through Hosea, or you're reading through Nahum, and I'm reading through Nahum, or you're reading through John, and I'm reading through John, and we come away and say, what'd you get out of that? And you tell me what you got, and I'm like, I didn't get that at all. What'd you get? I tell you, I got this. You know what's happening? The Spirit of God's right there, just like He has His arm around your back there. And He says, now, son, right there, you see that? Now, the next time you go through John, you may not see the same thing. You'll see something else, but the Spirit of God's right there saying, that is for you. And so the Word of God is the absolute best reproof from the best reprover. 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we started, my commission, my charge, Randy's charge, Tony's charge is to preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. That means sometimes we are sick, we don't feel good, times aren't right, and we got to go after it. Maybe the season's not good for you, we still got to do it. And our commission under preaching the Word, first bullet point, reprove. So the best reproof comes from the Word of God and from the preaching of the Word of God. I don't get any particular pleasure out of ruffling your feathers. I used to. When I started in the ministry, I get pleasure out of preaching the Word of God and knowing that the Spirit of God has used the preaching of the Word of God to address a concern in your life that He sees to help you straighten it up. Why? It is the most painless way to be reproved because He's just talking to you. Listen, they don't do this anymore in school. When we were in school, principals used to give you whippings. They don't do that anymore. Too bad. Well, I was in school, they did. Now, they always gave you a warning first. Young man, you better stop this or else. Now, you know what? That's easier than, young man, I already gave you one warning, you didn't obey me, bend over. Correct? Reproof from the Word of God through the preaching of the Word of God is absolutely the best way. Pay attention. Pay attention. Now, notice, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. As I said, don't get any pleasure out of ruffling your feathers. But I tell you what I do get pleasure out of. And every preacher does. Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse 12. It is the greatest privilege in the world to be used by the Spirit of God through the work of the Word of God to speak to you and have you receive a message from God, from His Word. Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse 12. As an earring of gold, and some of you are wearing gold earrings tonight, and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So when you come ready to church, ready to be reproved by the Word of God, ready to be reproved by the Spirit of God, And God has given one of your preachers wisdom from the Word of God to preach, and God uses that upon your obedient ear to make a correction in your life. Let me tell you something. That's like an earring. That's like an ornament of gold. It's precious. Why? Because it's beyond the preacher, but it's not beyond the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And it's beyond you if you come in disobedient, but if you're ready to receive something, God will speak to you and He'll help you because the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So the purpose of reproof is to get you to turn, instruct you, give you understanding. The best reprover is the Spirit of God, and the best reproof comes from the Word of God when it's preached. And he says, by a wise reprover. It's not a wise reprover to say, you know what, I know old Doyle's having some real problems tonight, so I'm going to build a message, just knock him off his pedestal. That's not wise. For one thing, he knows you're gunning for him, and he don't like you anymore. Okay, the other thing is, it misses everybody else in the crowd. Like one preacher said, don't do your counseling from the pulpit. You got a problem with somebody, you go to him directly. And try to be a wise reprover on an obedient ear. But for the most part, this whole thing is totally in the control of the Spirit of God. He can do whatever He wants to with the Word of God and apply it any way He wants to in your life and be a help to you. Now, the harshest, that's the best reproof. The harshest reproof comes from your own wickedness and backsliding. Turn to Jeremiah. If you won't listen to the Spirit of God, Jeremiah chapter 2, if you won't listen to the Word of God, and you won't listen to the Spirit of God, then you know what God will do? I'll tell you what He'll do. It'll surprise you. You think He's going to come down on my head with a sledgehammer in time. But that's not what He normally does. You know what He does? He does this. Watch. He just does this. All right. Okay. And then He lets you continue to follow your own sin. Jeremiah chapter 2, look at verse 19. And he lets the consequences of your own sin take care of the problem. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. You take a young man, and he starts messing around with alcohol, messing around with girls, messing around with drugs, messing around with stealing, messing around with disobedience, messing around with cheating on the job, whatever the case is, and God's reproving him from the Bible. He says, you know what, I don't like church anymore. Well, you know why he doesn't like church anymore? Because every time he goes there, he keeps hearing about his sin. So he says, I'm going to lay out of that thing. And God says, all right, I'm not going to chase him down. What he's doing is going to catch up with him in time. And when it catches up with him, it comes crashing in so that his own wickedness and own backsliding corrects him. And then he says, you know what? It is an evil and bitter thing that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. We had a prison ministry, jail ministry going on, and I'll tell you, there were guys that confessed to me, you know what? Why did I wait until I was 40 years old to listen to this? My mother used to tell me this stuff when I was a kid. I had a guy here from Corpus Christi that was in the B County Jail, and he said to me this. He said, I'm 40 years old, and all of my running buddies, all of the guys that I ran with, are either dead or in jail, except for one. And he said, you know where that one is? I said, no. He said, he's very successful today. And you know why he's not dead or in jail? I said, no. He said, because he listened to the preaching. That's what he said. He told me. Now this guy, he got saved, great, but he had to be reproved by his own backslidings and wickedness before he'd listen. And it's bitter, and it's evil. Harshest reproof. Okay, show you a couple of things here about this then. Those who regard reproof are benefited. Let me show you how. Go back to Proverbs. We get to spend the rest of our time in Proverbs, so you don't have to hunt around very far. Proverbs chapter 13. The first thing, those who regard reproof are honored. Those who regard reproof are honored. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 18. Proverbs 13, 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Who's going to honor him? Well, the Word of God will honor you. So will the Lord. Because you've made a good decision. So those who regard reproof are honored. And wouldn't you like to be honored? Amen. You know, those who regard reproof, Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 5, those who regard reproof are prudent. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Yep, that's true. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now, you know what young people will do to a child in school who wants to toe the line? They'll call him a prude. And that's a derogatory term, like a goody-goody two-shoes. But prude is the root word of prudent, and that's a very wise and well-understanding young man. So a person who regards reproof is prudent. He's honored. And then you're in Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 31. You know who he's going to abide with? He's going to abide among the wise. The ear that heareth, Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Have you ever seen how it turns out for wise people? Daniel was a wise man. How'd it go for him? Oh, it's beautifully. Just went beautifully. I'll tell you what, if I have a choice, and I do, in life, whether I want to abide with fools or abide with the wise, I'm going to choose the wise every time. And I have chosen the wise. Why? Because it goes well with them. And it goes very badly for the foolish. So those who regard reproof are honored, they're prudent, and they abide with the wise. You know what happens to those who despise reproof, who refuse reproof, who hate reproof? You know what happens to them? I'll show you. Proverbs chapter 1. Going fast enough for you? Proverbs chapter 1. I'll show you what happens to them. They're destroyed. That's it. They are destroyed. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30, verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. You know what happens to them? Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's what happens to them. They're destroyed. Why? They won't listen. They don't like it. They despise reproof. They refuse reproof. They hate it. Okay then. Take destruction, he says. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Look at verse 12. Here's a young man that gets messed up with a woman. And in verse 12, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 12, when he does, he says this, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? You know what happened to him? What happened to him is strangers were filled with his wealth in verse 10. And in verse 12, his flesh and his body were consumed. All because he wouldn't listen to reproof. Hated it. You know what else happens to them? Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 17. They err. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. When a person refuses reproof, despises reproof, hates reproof, he makes mistakes. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. In other words, when you have somebody pointing out to you something that you're doing wrong and you've refused to listen to him, guess what? You're going to end up in the wrong spot. You're going to end up going the wrong direction. It is going to go badly for you. And what's the consequence of that? Turn to Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse 1. The Bible says when you refuse it and despise it, you're brutish and you die. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You know, I preached something on the radio just recently about brutes. You know what a brutish person is? Acts like an animal. You ever seen a mule? Guy that won't listen just like that. He's a brute. He's brutish. And the consequence, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 10 is, he's going to die. Proverbs 15:10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. That's the way it goes. Man, I'll tell you what, there are all kinds of illustrations of this. I'm not going to go into any of them. We're just looking at the... When you got a God like the Lord God that loves you, You got a Spirit of God that knows you and a Word of God that discerns the thoughts of your and the intents of your heart. Best thing in the world you can do is listen. And it doesn't make any difference who the preacher is if God's speaking through him and through his words to you. You listen. You're always better off coming to church with an obedient ear. Say, man, God, if I'm out of line with you in any way, talk to me. Help me straighten out. Walk out of there with a gold earring on your. Last thing. There are some. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. Last thing. There are some who scorn reproof. You know what a scorner is? He's a person that just like vehemently criticizes it. It's not only that he hates it and refuses it, won't listen. He'll talk back against it. And when a person scorns reproof, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, the Lord said this, reprove not a scorner. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. Well, you're dealing with a scorner and you decide that you want to be used by God to reprove them. And you say something, they will hate you. Because they already hate the reproof, so they're going to hate the reprover. They put it to the messenger. You can't turn a person like that unless you want them to turn against you. You got to leave them alone. Let God let the wickedness and the backsliding accomplish its work. And then if they're willing to listen, okay. But as long as they're willing to scorn it, hate it, despise it, and refuse it, make nothing. Isn't that an amazing passage? It's an amazing passage of Scripture. Now, I don't want to end on a negative note, so I'd like to say this. Be an obedient ear. Subject yourself to wise reproof in your Bible reading and in preaching. And follow what the Lord, take the instruction. Turn when he tells you to turn and learn understanding, and you will be very, very happy with the outcome. And you'll abide with the wise. You'll be very pleased with the outcome, and so will God. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to study your words. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us to make application of these words in our lives, however you choose, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.